Coming up, if nautical nonsense be something you wish, you're in luck. We return to SpongeBob SquarePants Season 2, and this is Most Extreme Podcast.
Is that good?
Yeah, keep going.
Welcome to Most Extreme Podcast, the show where we discuss and analyze the enigma that is 2000s pop culture.
Oh, sorry. Keep going. I made a loud noise. Keep going.
Unbelievable.
No, okay. Keep going.
We can
keep
cut
going.
It Phone out. Users beware. I'm Jarrett Whitworth.
I'm Alejandro Akeen.
And I'm Brett Ellison. Hi.
Welcome.
Yeah, welcome.
If you made it through that abomination of an opening, I think.
How many people are still listening? What, 30 seconds into this podcast?
I think we still have a lot of people listening because I think people are going to be very into this topic, which is, drum roll, please.
If you haven't read the title.
SpongeBob. Okay. Yes, if you downloaded it, then you know. SpongeBob Season 2.
Yeah, this is continuing a trend that we've been doing on Most Extreme Podcast. A little mini series we call Sponge Pod Square Cast. That was completely unoriginal. That's a real one. Where we go through the golden years of SpongeBob by doing seasons 1, 2, 3, and then the movie.
Yeah.
And we are going to continue talking about it. So we got a lot of good feedback from our first episode of SpongeBob, so I'm really excited to talk about this. Are you guys excited?
Oh,
no, yeah, actually.
Alejandro is leaving.
What is this, SpongeBob? No. Cool. I'm excited.
Okay.
Is that the kid who had fairy godparents?
More on that in a second, for sure.
Yeah. So is it just the three of us talking about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, wait, who's that coming in?
What an introduction.
Why, it's Joseph Chambliss, our guest for today.
Oh my god, I've just been transported here. I'm sorry.
All right, beam in our next guest.
Yeah. Hello, I'm here.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, thank you. I honestly was just so happy we're going to do SpongeBob.
Okay, sweet.
Because I think this was said in the last episode of SpongeBob, but it is... my life. SpongeBob was my childhood.
And he's pounding on the arm.
Yeah, I'm so happy about this.
Oh, I'm glad.
You guys keep going.
Yeah, no, for sure. So let's dig into it a little bit. So your personal history of SpongeBob, so where did it begin? Were you a Nickelodeon kid in general? Or
Okay. No, I was a Nickelodeon kid only because for some reason when I got into the age group where usually you go to Cartoon Network, my little kid brain was like, nah, I'm an adult. I don't need cartoons anymore. So I watched cartoons at Nickelodeon because, I don't know, that felt more like
mature,
nice. SpongeBob was a mature show. But I started on there and pretty much, I don't know when, I probably was like three, maybe, I don't know how old I was, but I watched like all the way up to like season 4 or 5 and then eventually kind of went off. My childhood with SpongeBob was me and my sister both just watching it together and just having a good time. Mm-hmm. And my parents sometimes coming in being like, oh, that's an annoying laugh. And then walking out. And that was it. And that was one of my only hobbies when I was a kid.
Oh, was watching SpongeBob.
Yeah. It was
you didn't play badminton, did you?
Oh, no.
Okay. Simply. We have a running theme on the show about talking about badminton sucks for some reason.
Togo's badminton Olympic team.
Yeah, the country of Togo's badminton team.
Yeah, they caught some
strays. So listen to our 2008 time. Beijing Olympics episode for more on that. Okay, cool. We talked a little bit in our first SpongeBob episode. Both Jared and I definitely grew up with the show. Alejandro, since you're sort of a newer host of the show, what is your background on SpongeBob SquarePants?
I never watched SpongeBob.
All right, now. All right, we're going to beam this guy out.
Get out. I'm replacing you.
Welcome to our new host.
Hello, I'm Lorenzo. I never watched SpongeBob, but I did like the movie a lot.
Okay.
Which
the first one?
The first one, yeah. Which still had the original creator involved in it.
Yes, Steven Hillenburg was still involved.
So it was very... But I never, for some reason, never checked out those first three seasons.
Okay.
But I love the movie. And then this was my first time watching like SpongeBob. And it's just so crazy how every episode has like a meme that I know. Even right. I've never watched SpongeBob, but I know the like frames.
You vicariously like, oh. watch SpongeBob. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like that Wolf of Wall Street.
It's that. What's that?
Thing? Oh no, no, no! The
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Once Upon a Time.
Yeah. Oh yeah, pointing. Yeah. Yeah, Leo's in a lot of memes these days. With Django.
He's also a meme god.
Yeah, if you think about it, I'm sure he doesn't pay attention to any of that. But we are talking season two, Jarrett. Season two related? Anything background on this one?
Just like I was reading through like just the list of episodes, and they are all. So good. Yeah. It's like a lot of the classic ones when I think of like, oh, that like that's such a good episode. And obviously we'll talk about some of that later. Mm-hmm. But just every one of them is real good. I think if pizza delivery had been in this season,
it would have been the perfect one.
It might be the greatest season of television of all time.
Honestly, not much.
Absolutely.
Sorry, The Wire.
It literally has the episode Band Geeks in season two, which I thought was in season three. And I am.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah. That one is my favorite.
Is season two your favorite?
Good.
Yeah, is season two your favorite one?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Okay. I didn't realize it until I rewatched the entire season. And I was just like, every one of these is like, I could repeat lines before they were said. Wow. And I was just like, where is this coming from? I haven't watched this in 5 years. This is great.
Did you watch the whole season to prepare for this?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Like, okay. I did.
He watched
like,
the whole
skip,
show.
I did skip a few like near the end, wow. but I did because I thought that's what I was supposed to do.
No, that's great. That's commitment. That yeah. Great. Anytime we've done episodes of like whole TV shows, like Drake and Josh and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'll maybe watch three. So yeah, that's awesome. Well, I actually have, hang on. I know this is an audio podcast, but I do have a visual. Excuse me.
Oh my.
Keep talking.
Oh my God, it's Brett in a SpongeBob costume.
Oh my. I have, it's here.
Whoa.
Yes.
I have the second season on DVD with me right here. We'll post a picture of this on our social media, but you can hand this over.
I thought that was amazing. A VHS for a second.
Oh wow, everyone that looks so thick. Ugly in it. I love it.
Yeah, the box art, they're all references to stuff that happens in the second season. Wow. So there's like something smells and it's Patrick with like the, you know, disgusting onion breath. Bring that yes. out.
Easy like Sunday morning. That one?
He was so or ugly that everyone died.
You trying to kill us?
See, so many quotes already.
And I haven't seen
the one with
like
SpongeBob, you had to get that thing off your chest. It's just like this weird creature.
I'm ugly and I'm proud.
Yes.
Oh, I just same kid, love this same. Crazy Squidward face.
Yeah, the Squidward face. I think it gets like deflated or something at one point. But yeah, so it's interesting that we're doing this episode, especially coming off of right in the middle of a SpongeBob craze in terms of like media right now. It's interesting. The SpongeBob SquarePants movie Sponge on the Run just went on Paramount Plus. I don't know how many stupid there's so many streaming ones for now, and all the ads for Paramount Plus have been like, this isn't your other streaming service. I'm like, it just sounds it like is. Everything else.
Now they've got SpongeBob the movie and the new iCarly show.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's like everything Paramount Plus is doing, I don't understand. But then there's two new SpongeBob TV shows coming out. We have Camp Coral, which is sort of like if they were all children, all the SpongeBob characters.
Oh, no.
Apparently the movie is just a giant, like, pilot for that. So it's like they're cute now.
Isn't it like technically a prequel boy. Or something?
Right.
Sponge on the Run is a prequel for them?
Yeah, it goes to like flashbacks of this Camp Coral show that's coming out. And it just looks like a way to sell more merchandise, but it's like what if they were like babies? It's like also, Muppet babies.
Oh, they're like chibi.
It's like the Minion effect of like making everything a cute version. Of
right
of everything.
And then the other thing we have coming soon is the Patrick Star Show, which is a show dedicated just to Patrick Star. Somebody said it's like gonna be a talk show of some sort. I don't know if it's gonna be like like Space
it's
Ghost
be a podcast.
Welcome to the Patrick Star Show. I'm your host
Patrick Star.
Also, I should mention that in November of 2019, a music-based Squidward project was reported to be in development for Netflix. In early March 2020, Viacom CBS announced that it will be producing two spin-off films based off of the streaming series. Yeah. Why would they make a music-based TV show off of the worst musician possible? Squidward.
Wait, they actually did make a SpongeBob musical.
Right. It was on Broadway.
Yeah.
Right. It won a bunch of Tonys.
I've only heard that it's amazing.
Wait,
yeah.
What?
At one point, all I've known is that apparently David Bowie did some of the music for it before he passed. And at one point, a giant horde of pirates run through the theater at one point. So it's very interactive. It's not just, like, all on the stage. Like, they have stuff flying around. Wow. So I've only heard everyone, all the reviews I've heard, like, I just saw the SpongeBob musical, and it was great.
I don't know. It was crazy.
It was better than Phantom.
I have not, really kept up with SpongeBob at all after my childhood.
Right.
And so, like, hearing that, like, they made a good musical out of this?
Yeah. It does seem sort of... Another reason why we're doing, like, the first three seasons and the movie is the quality seems to, like, pretty much decline after that, with some good episodes here and there. But in general, like, the golden stuff starts there. And we said before, Steven Hillenburg sort of made the movie as, like, the closure to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And then Nickelodeon just went ahead and made more.
Yeah,
it's a money printing machine.
I haven't even seen that first movie. That will be a thing I have to, like, go and watch.
Okay.
It's a good time. Because, yes, once that happened, I've been checked out of SpongeBob stuff. I just watched that original stuff so much.
Right. Now it's become Paramount or Viacom's Mickey Mouse in many ways. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So we are talking season one. We're talking to season... We're not talking season one. Go back and listen to that. Season two. So the biggest things is talking about sort of the differences in sort of like seasons one, season two. Mm-hmm. A lot of it being that I think a lot of people can notice it. Like the first season was very much cell animation, very normal 2D animated. And then in the second season is when they switched to doing digital ink. And paint. This is a quote from the executive producer of SpongeBob who says, the first season of SpongeBob was done in an old-fashioned way on cells, and every cell had to be part painted, left to dry, and it was too time-consuming, but the digital way just means we didn't have to take so long to correct. So, for those, I'm pretty sure people who've watched enough SpongeBob, you can be like, you can definitely tell a difference in, like, the art direction. I kind of prefer the old one, to be honest. It looks a little bit more like a classic Nicktoon.
I actually prefer the new one a little bit, because the second season, because it's a little more saturated, but it's not like the new seasons where it's just like overly bright and vivid and like clearly a kid's show, but it's a little bit brighter. And like
I agree with that. I like
a
it.
A little more uniform.
A little brighter and a little crisper.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me the
but still not like overly cartoony like so many things are now.
I'm kind of with that, but I don't know anything about animation, but like the animation I feel like for season two got better. There was way more movement in
sure
it. I think there was like a car chase or Mrs. Puff steals SpongeBob's car, and literally there's so much movement in that. I don't know if season one did that. I could be wrong.
I think it reminds me more of that like classic hand drawn animation. I'm not really against the digital art. I think it looks you're saying the more vibrant colors and stuff. The one thing we should mention is that the animation was done completely overseas in South Korea by Studio Rough Draft Studios. So pretty much the important thing to know about this is that pretty much every animated show that's ever made in America, all the actual animation is done in South Korea. Rough Draft Studios has done pretty much everything you've ever known. Ren and Stimpy, The Simpsons, Beavis and Butthead, Rocko's Modern Life, Dexter's Laboratory, King of the Hill, Angry Beavers, SpongeBob, The Powerpuff Girls, Dragon Tales, Family Guy, Samurai Jack, Kim Possible. So pretty much every show, Adventure Time, DuckTales, and of course the new Patrick Star Show and The Camp Coral.
That is quite a list.
So, the list goes on. They have a whole Wikipedia of everything that they've worked on.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's a lot. But it's interesting because when they were talking about writing the second season, because with a lot of these shows, it's like, I don't know how long this is going to go on or anything. But during this season, season two, the writing staff used actual individual childhood experiences as inspirations to come up with much of the story in individual episodes. So, for example, Sailor Mouth... comes from an actual story from one of the writers. The creative director, Derek Dryman's experience, where he had gotten in trouble for saying the F word in front of his mother, but not knowing it. And then, so the scene where Patrick is running to Mr. Krabs to tattletale and SpongeBob chasing him is pretty much how it happened in real life with him and his brother. And so at the end of the episode where Mr. Krabs is using more profanity than they've ever heard is also from his real experience. Was like, oh, my mom has a terrible mouth. So, and then, for example, like The Secret Box is another episode that comes from a personal experience from one of the writers where a kid had an actual secret box when he was a child. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So and you know, there's like little things like that that is definitely change out. But both of those episodes are classics. Can't deny that. For but sure. But yeah, going off the thing of pretty much in we're Nicktoon like eras in terms of the timeline of stuff. So like the first ones are like Rugrats, Hey Arnold, Rocko's Modern Life, Real Monsters. I've never seen that one. Is that good?
I have not.
It does not ring a bell.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I never got really into it, but I'm definitely
right.
It.
That's all part of that first wave of stuff. And then we put the Watch Mojo top 10 animated materials of all time when Doug's movie got released by Disney and not Nickelodeon. Oh, man. But yeah, so pretty much the lifespan for a Nicktoon was like 4 to 5 years. And then you get like maybe a movie and that's it. So then the second wave of Nicktoons, it's SpongeBob, The Wild Thornberries, Rocket Power, As Told by Ginger, and Fairly Odd Parents. And Fairly Odd Parents and SpongeBob are the two that get the longest run. Mm-hmm. And then SpongeBob is, you know, going
infinite.
And it will never end.
Yeah.
Until Tom Kenny passes, pretty much, is the only time. And then and then they're just going to reboot it. Start from page one. Remakes of the episode.
His voice may sound different, but I promise it's the same Sponge.
It's the same guy.
Wait, would Avatar be a part of?
That comes later in 2005.
Gotcha. Okay,
yeah, so
gotcha.
I was thinking more like, so 99, because like Rugrats and Doug and stuff start in 92, and then that end around 99. 99 is when we get
SpongeBob.
Right. And then like things like Wild Thornberries, they get their own movie. They get two, technically, because they also do a crossover with the Rugrats. But then like a lot of that stuff is like 2005 is where you get like Danny Phantom and My Life as a Teenage Robot, and then Avatar.
Oh my gosh.
All that goes out there. Powerpuff Girls.
Powerpuff Girls is Cartoon Network, and that came out in 96 or 5. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
also, good show. But yeah, definitely not Nickelodeon. People get really upset if you get that wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoops.
Sorry.
This is a lot of, I'm trying to get all this jargon out so we can talk more SpongeBob. Oh, yeah. They even did a special on May 17th to celebrate the 100th episode. And this is also when they started doing marathons where it would be like nothing but back to back on Nickelodeon, just episodes of SpongeBob over and over again, which seems to be a thing they do like once a week now. Anytime I'm in a hotel and I use cable, which I haven't used in a long time, it'll just be like, oh, SpongeBob's on again.
Well, I believe it's like the most shown show, like the most broadcast show that they have, because they just love to.
Yeah,
I mean, there's so many episodes. I mean, like there's 20 in season two at least. Well, I don't know much about like TV shows and if that's smaller or large, but for like a kid's show, I feel like if you just have 20 in one season and maybe 20 in another, you can just throw them out there as much as possible.
Yeah, the idea is that you want to get to around 100, which is when you get 100 is when you can do syndication, so gotcha. That you can continue to do multiple episodes. And so I think season two is around season two or season three where it's like they hit 100 and it's like, all right, we can keep airing these. And from time to time, it will just be, if I have ever watched Nickelodeon, it will just be something from the first three seasons. Mm-hmm. Like one of the classic episodes. So I'll be like, yep, we're doing that again. Hey, if you're all of our listeners in Bikini Bottom,
this one's a shout out for you.
The one thing I like also about this season is that we get a lot more time with other characters. So like we get like episodes like Gary gets his own episode. Gary takes a bath, which is a classic in my book for sure. And then like Patrick Starr's parents show up before his spinoff in the which one is it? It's the one where he's like,
I'm with stupid, and something like that. Because he wants SpongeBob to pretend he's stupid so he looks smart. Is that right?
It's one of them where he's like with his parents the whole time, and then they realize that they're not his parents.
Oh, jeez.
And then they're like, he pulls a Shyamalan twist. And then, his parents show up later. And then, like, Grandma's Kisses has SpongeBob's yes. grandma as more characters. And then we get more information and stuff like Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy. We get, like, their lair and all that. That might be my favorite episode of this season.
I literally watched that one really today.
Cool. Yeah.
And who's Gimli again?
John Rhys Davis.
John Rhys Davis. The moment I heard his voice, I was like, I know that from yeah. somewhere. And it just, it all clicked in my head. I was right. like, this is why this one's the best.
Yes, same for me.
Sir.
Yes. Yeah. Sir. That's something that didn't take me until, like, yeah, recently. That I was like, oh man, that's Gimli from Lord of the Rings, that they have him as Man Ray. Mm-hmm. One of the best villains. Also, if I ever cosplay ever, I'm doing Man Ray. That's perfect.
But if we really deconstruct this episode, we realize that, did they just use torture in SpongeBob?
Oh, with a tickle belt?
Yeah.
Yeah, that also looked really weird. It's just like a vibrating, like, oh, belt.
Right, yeah. And then it's like the, like, static at some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it ends so funny with him going to the bank to try to rob it and then end up getting a checking account.
My checking account has little poodles on it.
That's another thing that happens more in this season. I mean, it happens a lot in the first season, but where you, like, get more live action stuff put in there,
mm-hmm. right?
Or the, like, a lot of meta stuff for, like, what is the episode where they steal a balloon? Okay, so the episode where they steal
Life of Crime,
Life of Crime.
Crime.
Yeah. Okay, they're only 11 minutes. Yeah, that the episode where they go, like, wait a minute, if we're underwater, how come there's a fire? And then it immediately dissolves. Yeah, things like that. And then, mm-hmm. yeah, like, if they're showing the checks of little poodles, it's like a picture of a live-action poodle. Right. I mean, I even love, like, the fish announcer. That's yeah. just, like, yes. a fish head, like, ones you would put, like, a
head on. Gets run over at one point.
But this is also where we get the introduction to the character of Patchy the Pirate, if we talk yes. about live-action. Mm. Which is
Tom Kenny.
Played by Tom Kenny himself, who's doing now, like, 6 different roles in this show where he's yeah. like the French narrator, he's Patchy the Pirate, he's Gary, he's like maybe like 1 or 2 other people. Yeah, it's insane.
Probably some background characters.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Patchy the Pirate is the president of the SpongeBob SquarePants fan club. He is also SpongeBob's number one fan. Unlike most of SpongeBob's characters, Patchy is a human and plays by Tom Kenny. Also, Potty, his like puppet, like
parrot.
Oh man, I feel like it's trying to resemble those like old like Mr. Rogers, oh, kind yeah. of like right. Captain Kangaroo, like those kind of shows. Because like this whole, we talked about in the first episode that like SpongeBob was based off of those kind of like that 60s tiki kind of movement, and then like those children's shows from that time period is what is with Patchy. You get a lot. This is definitely like SpongeBob. We're going to spend more money on this show. We're realizing the imprint. Yeah. Because we were talking about how the ratings were just through the roof when the first season came out. So,
which is always so weird to me because, like, you guys talked about this at the first season. But, like, all the people I knew around me, their parents hated it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
I felt that same way. I think, but besides my own dad, who loved the show, I think I'll be the only reason I would ever be watching it to this day. Because I think my dad found something funny in it. I don't know why, but my dad loves that show to this day. That's the reason I have it on DVD where everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's clever. I really think that the show is very clever with its jokes in a way that's like can kind of poke at the adults who are supposed to also like possibly watch it with their kids.
Right.
Yeah, especially all those like swerves in the live action, throwing the live action there I just went ahead and got a checking account. Those right. kind of things. Those kind of yeah. just like off the wall.
Mm-hmm. Kids wouldn't really know what that means, but yeah. like to adults, this is pretty funny. Yeah.
Right. But even stuff like if that's like the baby boomer / Generation X, where it's like the shows they grow up with and like the people who are making SpongeBob, like they're going to get a lot of the same humor together with like the Mermaid Man Barnacle Boy being like the Adam West Batman,
right.
like that very similar type of vibe. So things like that, I think, make the adults get that humor as well. But then there's also, I don't know, I read a lot of reviews of season 2 being like, wow, this show is getting really good from, you know, Associated Presses and so forth. So
Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert. Actually,
who was the guy that always has the like bad reviews or the reviews that are the opposite of the public opinion?
Armand White.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah,
the SpongeBob fad.
He's a contrarian.
Quickly,
yeah. So the big thing I did want to talk about in terms of season 2 is the episode Shanghai. As I mentioned earlier, is sort of one of the bigger episodes in the season. So the big thing about it is that in the special, When it first aired, viewers who turned in can vote by telephone or online for who gets the wish at the end. So it's they're playing Eeny Meeny, the Flying Dutchman.
Yeah.
So there are three different endings to the episode in which either Squidward, SpongeBob, or Patrick gets the wish. And so they have animated them completely. And so after SpongeBob received the most votes, the original proper ending is with SpongeBob getting the wish where they turn into, like, fruit so that he can't eat them.
Yeah.
There's two other endings. They are on those the DVDs of season two.
Oh, cool. God.
Yeah. So you can choose which ones you want to watch.
So it was like,
what are they?
Live?
I don't remember it. Yeah. So the big event for Shanghai was that it was going to be like, oh man, you can vote what the ending's going to be while it's happening. They left it. So like now if it ever airs on TV again, it's with the SpongeBob getting it, but there are separate endings, which there you can find them on YouTube too.
Yeah.
I don't remember what they are. I just remember it's Patrick's is lazy and dumb and then Squidward's thinking he's smart and then ends up ruining it for everybody.
Right.
I think it's like they don't remember each other or something. They all have amnesia.
I don't think I knew that that was the case until like not very long ago when I was looking up episodes or whatever. I was like, there were multiple episodes for that or multiple endings for that.
Right.
Because I only ever remember obviously the one that they showed, but I didn't know that that was the case. That's awesome.
Okay, so I did want to show one video, and this is actually them doing voiceover work for the episode The Graveyard Shift.
Yes.
So you get to see, which I think is always crazy when you're watching the voice actors do their job, but you know their voices of the character so much that you're like, so that guy's just dubbing over, like it doesn't even look real. Here, I'll play it for y'all so you can see it. It's pretty crazy.
There will be three signs that signal the approach of the high-slinging slasher. First, the lights will flicker on and off. Next.
It's crazy they're in the same room doing it together.
Squidward's voice actor looks like Steven Seagal.
It is. Roger Bumpus. We'll post this clip because now you guys are just like, so you're watching SpongeBob? But it's very crazy, yeah, to see the two of them.
Tom Kenny is a genius.
That's true. He can do anything.
Great. Yeah.
Big fan of him. And it's also just weird seeing them. I remember watching an interview with them, and they were like, so, you guys have been doing this for so long. Do you guys, like, ever get tired of doing this? And they're like, this is, like, the best gig you can ever have.
We do funny voices.
Yeah.
You do funny voices, you get paid.
Like, right.
I genuinely really like this show. I'm still not over the fact that so many people's parents around me didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I kind of want to go into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Where I had an interesting thing experience with that where I went to like this Christian school when I was a really young kid.
Right.
And for some reason, all the parents, or all the kids at least, said that their parents didn't let them watch it because SpongeBob was gay.
I've heard this at same army because I was looking up around this time articles about SpongeBob and everyone's like, is he gay? Question mark.
Yeah. And I was always like, huh. Okay, that makes sense for me then. But
sure.
Like, it's just like, that's...
Just because he has a high voice and he's positive all the time. Suddenly that makes, yeah.
But like, I will say, no, I appreciate the show because... Throughout, like, the seasons, they do show positive, good, like physical relationships between, like, SpongeBob and his friends. Like, right. He holds hands with, like, Patrick and Squidward.
Right.
And, like, hugs them and everything. And that was good.
Right.
That was...
And it's strictly platonic, too.
Yeah.
Right.
I like that. I appreciate that about SpongeBob, and I feel like... As a kid, that was something that was really cool. But it's just interesting how, like, a lot of parents were like... That sponge gay.
That's a gay sponge.
And that gay sponge is going to turn my kid gay. And I'm just like,
yeah, maybe also like the colors and the music and everything. Yeah, that's a good point.
But like, I mean, like,
it's the same thing. It's like people who haven't read Harry Potter and they're like witchcraft.
Literally, same thing at that school.
Or like Pokemon evolution.
Like,
yeah, there's a lot of that stuff. But
like in the end, I feel like. Like, even, I kind of, like, sometimes, like, I have this, like, thing in my mind where I'm like, man, what if they did reveal he was gay? It'd be so epic.
So, to go off of that, last year, they did have a thing where it was SpongeBob and a gay flag, and it was just like, happy Pride Month, everybody. And everyone's like, aha, it's confirmed. And I'm like, I don't think that's what this was saying, but all right.
But, like, that's so funny.
We got you.
And then all the parents back in 2003 were like, I knew it.
Yeah. Time machine. Well, we can beam them right now with this. Yeah.
They're here. They're telling me to stop.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing that I think, yeah, is interesting is the amount of kids who watch SpongeBob. Because there's a bunch of studies about, like, is it good for your children to watch it? But the amount of people who, like, watched it who got more understanding of, like, positivity and then just, like, you know, complete optimism no matter the situation is something that I feel like SpongeBob is really good at teaching kids.
Yeah, I actually, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, what is the message of this, like, kids show? And like, I think that's perfect.
Right. It does. I mean, every episode does have, is centered around, like, a good theme, message, learning moment.
Right.
Which I don't know about the later episodes, but.
Yeah, but, I can't speak to that.
But yeah, so, I mean, from what I saw, it was really good.
Yeah.
And especially since I, for so long, was like, oh, it's just this stupid show.
Sure.
But.
And I think a lot of parents also didn't get SpongeBob until after the movie when it started to decline quality. So they watch and like, this is garbage. And then you're like, well, I can't argue with that. So.
Also, they kind of made SpongeBob creepy.
Yes.
Yeah, that was my thing where it's just like, you took this like very like healthy, like platonic hugging and holding hands with your friends, like I don't know, I think that's kind of sweet, but then like you make it so that now he's like kind of creepy and it's just like,
aww. Yeah, it is also like as they've done for so long, I don't know if it's just Tom Genny's voice has gotten worse, but it's like it's even higher now.
Yeah,
and it's a little the animation has also changed, so it's like his pupils are like a lot more dilated, and it's definitely
got like bigger eyelashes.
It might just be a change of like how we have to do the animation for a while now.
He does have like a very more, I don't know how to put it, like just almost flamboyant design in the new one.
Yeah, the new maybe.
But no wonder I turned out this way.
what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say, I remember when there was definitely an episode that I watched that was like new episode of SpongeBob, and it was like, oh, how often do you like actually catch like a new episode of SpongeBob? Right. This was a long time ago, like middle school or whatever. And it was this one where his like pants inflate and he can fly or something. I just remember watching it and going like,
not the same.
That didn't seem as clever as like any of these other early ones. So I think there was just a lot of like, it was just like earnest fun. I think we talked about earnest, like joyful fun.
Right.
Like in a lot of earlier episodes too.
Yeah. And also like the gross out humor of like the extreme, like we even talked about like the deflated Squidward, the extreme frames.
In the graveyard shift, there's a point where they all scream and their eyebrows like wiggle out of their heads.
Yeah. I love that.
It's very like in many ways, this is here. I'll give you an example from my real life, which is I was running a film camp that Jared and I both ran for several years. And we were talking about I was trying to explain how to do a scene to a kid. And I said, like Bugs Bunny. And the kid went, who's that?
Oof.
And I was like, what? Three other kids were like, you never heard of Bugs Bunny. But then we found out that the majority of this was maybe 2017. The majority of the kids had never heard of Bugs Bunny in their life. Wow. I show them a picture. Never seen that in my life.
Wow.
But they all know who SpongeBob is. To them, SpongeBob is their Looney Tunes.
Right.
So also, shame on their parents for not showing them Tom and Jerry and Looney Tunes, because that's like, then we got everybody next to a projector.
Yeah.
This is art.
It's God, definitely
that's how you learn about classical music.
Right. I mean, like every animation, it takes notes of that Hanna-Barbera style, which is.
Right. There's a lot of like comic violence in it and stuff like that. So for like, I just watched Wormy, where they're saying like, we got to take this situation as calm as possible. And then they scream like, run. And then there's like nuclear bombs going off and fire and everything. So that stuff is so funny to me.
The butterfly, though, stuff that like when I was a kid, that stuff.
It's another live action thing.
Right. Where it cuts to Wormy as the butterfly. And then it's just like shot from like some National Geographic nature thing, which you can find the same shot on Getty Images, like the same video. Yeah, I know a lot of kids who were like terrified of that episode because it was like the close up footage of Wormy as a butterfly. So you saw like the millions of eyes everything. Yeah, which I thought was always so funny.
Was it last season? Was the Suds in the last season?
Yeah.
When we talked about that. Yeah, that, Suds. That live action like yeah, SpongeBob. Creeps.
Yeah, I know a lot of people that were like where they're competing, and like SpongeBob takes off his helmet in Sandy's house, so he's like crinkling up.
Sandy, I need water.
I was just saying, I love that part in the movie too. I don't know if we'll talk about the movie later, but that part where they're like dying or dehydrating.
A lot of people, yeah. We'll get to that when we end up doing that. But it's spoilers for Jarrett.
No.
SpongeBob.
If they're
dies.
Still making episodes, I guess they don't die. So.
Well, who knows?
He just regenerates like the Doctor. Doctor Who.
Yeah, he keeps coming back. Yeah, it's interesting because of there's a lot of other jokes that like this had to have only been for adults when I was watching, like, for example, Wormy, where at one point where they see that they've lost their friend Wormy and it's turned to a butterfly, and SpongeBob's like, oh, this means that he killed and ate Wormy, and Patrick goes, why does this keep happening? You know, it's like, when does this ever happen?
or Mrs. Puff being like, I'm gonna have to skip town, change my name, start a new boarding school. No, not again. Not again. Just like, this happened?
So you're not really Puff. Mrs. Puff, yeah. Yeah, there's even things like, yeah, a lot of Patrick jokes, I think. He'll just, like, say one word that it's like, whoa, where did that come from?
I was going to say, one of my favorite jokes is when Mr. Krabs gets out of the hospital.
Oh, yeah.
When they leave, it's the night shift episode. Yeah. When they leave, he's like, well, if anything goes wrong, just let me know. And then he just sees Squidward just going crazy, and he just immediately goes back into the hospital.
Yeah, that's the graveyard shift is fantastic. That Nosferatu at the end scared me as a kid.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I was like, I never had any idea.
Right,
what
I've seen. Apparently that came first. It's like, we got to find a way to put Nosferatu in an episode, and then the episode went around that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen like where does that the monster?
Yeah, it's like he's flicking the lights.
I've seen like people talk about childhood trauma and like. Yeah. Having that in it?
Not actual, but like, you okay. know, like the when you were talking about how all the kids like got like super freaked out by all this live action stuff, that was me.
Yeah,
I love the show, but like every time those episodes happened, I was just like, oh, I'm gonna cry.
Yeah,
time to cry now.
Yeah, we can talk. We'll have to do maybe a whole episode on childhood trauma because
Jesus,
there's parts of Chicken Run that are like,
yeah.
Some people have Barney as their childhood trauma, which I totally get.
Are we going to be able to talk about Chicken Run?
Yeah, that came out in 2000.
That was 2002?
Oh my gosh.
Is that your thing?
I love Chicken
I think
Run.
If we want to look at the record, love I think Chicken you Run. Are on record, Jarrett, for saying that's Mel Gibson's best movie.
I stand by it.
Remember, you're under oath.
I stand by it.
You cannot lie during this perfect yeah. professional
And we
podcast.
Look at the jury and...
Let's beam in the jury.
if you want to hashtag beam in the jury, bring that in.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, so anyway. But yeah, this season specifically is very much to me where like the cultural memes and everything of like SpongeBob comes into play. Because we'll get into for sure like Band Geeks is like the one where it's like... animators on YouTube went together and reanimated that whole thing all in different art styles. Like that is a cultural moment. Mm-hmm. Since SpongeBob SquarePants made its debut in 1999, the show had flourished into Nickelodeon's, this is from the Wikipedia, the Nickelodeon's number two childhood program after Rugrats. Nearly a 40% of the show's audience were of 2.2 million were ages 18 to 34 around season two. So,
incredible.
Yeah, a lot of people were starting to understand it. As a result, Nickelodeon moved the show from its Saturday morning to a much more valuable time slot of 6 p.m., which is essentially like Nickelodeon's version of prime time because like 7 p.m. is where it's like Nick at Night. It's like the sun is still out. But Nick at Night is another like after
primed,
like 10.
Full House.
Yeah, what do we got? We got Full House. You've got The Nanny. Home Improvement, George Lopez
George
show.
Lopez.
There's the memes of like
of waking up,
waking up at like 3 a.m. and then it's just Lowrider. Remember when he had his own talk show? But yeah, SpongeBob is made a lot more overly childish these days, and that was not the case these three seasons. It feels like the characteristics of SpongeBob characters today are almost like imitations of what they used to be. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, we have the grumpy one is Squidward, we have the stupid one is Patrick, and we have, yeah. And it's like...
It's all kind of funneled down to the most simple characteristics
the Simpsons.
Of each
and I don't Right, The Simpsons is the same thing, where it's like, I don't know if it's just because it's like, become such a money machine that they've had to do it that way, or is it, you know...
I mean, I think at a point, you just run out Oops. You just run out of like the best storylines.
Yeah.
And then also since the creator left, I think.
Right.
Lost a lot
Rest
of that.
Rest in peace. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where it's like, I think every show at some point needs to end, including The Simpsons. And It's Always Sunny. Where
did
it's like,
Fairly Odd Parents end?
Yeah, already? It ended.
Didn't the movies?
They
pretty
made
recently, though. Right?
Yeah,
they made live action movies.
They made with Drake Bell. Yeah,
which are in the universe, like canon.
Yeah,
which is,
but it's not for sure. Okay, so I have these statistics for SpongeBob SquarePants, which is from something, YouGov.com. SpongeBob SquarePants is the 80th most popular of all time TV show and the 7th most famous TV show of all time. I don't know where they get this data.
Well, what's the difference between popular and famous?
Well, the most popular TV show, according to this, is Jeopardy.
Okay.
And the most famous show is The Simpsons. So I don't know if it's going by, like, people have heard of it, like, and then the ratings.
Okay.
I think that might be the difference. Because then, pardon the interruption, should be way up there, because I've been in enough restaurants where that's on mute in the background. When are we doing our PTI episode? So the one interesting thing I found about it is that they do it data by like millennials, Generation X, and baby boomers, and the positive opinion is only higher with every generation. So baby boomers have a 39% positive opinion on SpongeBob, Generation X 54, millennials 60, and then Gen Z is like 75. Yeah. So
wow,
people that haven't even been born yet love it.
They've been indoctrinated since birth.
The interesting thing, though, is that the difference in positive opinion between men and women is very interesting, because women have a 52% positive opinion on it, and men have a 49% positive.
Ooh, interesting.
So, ladies, loving the sponge.
Just go up to a girl. Hey, girl.
SpongeBob. 52% chance. You live in a pineapple under the sea.
Let's see your bikini pile.
Oh, my gosh.
That was risky.
Want to know how many times I failed my boating test?
Let's just say I've never succeeded.
Is there a Mr. Puff?
Is there a Mr. Puff? Do we ever get that?
Oh, yes, we do.
We do?
Do we?
Because there's a date night in season 2 where Mr. Krabs wants to go on a date with Miss Puff. And he goes, Mrs. Oh, so there's a Mr. Puff. And SpongeBob goes, oh, no, she doesn't talk about that. And it shows a live-action clip where Mr.
That's
Puff's
right.
the lamp.
Oh!
He turns
That's
it on.
Right.
And I'm like, that's dark.
Is a great joke.
I forgot about that.
I love that moment.
That's also something I probably
I just
did not
watched
get
that last night, too.
Yeah. I just watched that today.
That's I forgot about that, too. That's
so that is true. Wow.
She's a widow.
Okay, because I watched Wormy the other day. This is a joke that makes me laugh every single time, where it's just the hangout of Wormy, like, oh, you're our best friend. And then it cuts to like a rock song. I'm like, a friend. It's like, where did this come from? SpongeBob does surrealist comedy to me more better than any show, pretty much. So it's like, who, like, this is definitely just like a bunch of writers who are friends just trying to make each other laugh, which is this show.
I think they really use the animation to the most extent.
Right.
And then, like, adding in the live action stuff.
Right. The only show I can think about it that does it pretty well is Chowder, where they would randomly, like, there's a point in Chowder where the joke is that they're running out of money so much that it just, all of a sudden, they cut to just the actors in the recording room together. And they're like, we ran out of animation money. And then, like, they do a car wash in the parking lot of the recording studio, and then they get the money back.
It's just, I think...
What show is
Chowder?
I think that just adds to it, because it's so expressive, that's why you can make so much memes out of it. And so much,
Also, but surrealist comedy is just great.
Talking about the memes, have you guys heard of SpongeBob in the Hood?
What?
No, it's just like a crap post YouTube thing.
Oh,
there's like
YouTube
7
poop.
Parts to it, but it's just like taking parts of SpongeBob and dubbing in like very R-rated stuff.
Oh no.
It's like basically
I have talked about that like very early YouTube of just seeing like thumbnails of like Sesame Street characters with his like evil eyebrows or something like that. Or seeing like it was like I was like those like Barney videos, but then like they would just put over like a Notorious B.I.G. song or Tupac, And as a kid being like, this is not funny. And now I'm like, this is the funniest video I've ever seen.
Another, I mean, you know, I like a good YouTube mashup. There's another great one that is Biggie Smalls rap mixed over the Thomas the Tank Engine theme song.
Oh, I've heard that one. I've also heard it with like, yeah, Bound 2 by Kanye West.
Also, like the music like, in it. Being like remixed nowadays into like
that's that other like stuff. Hawaiian music, yeah, it's super calming that music. But then also a lot of like the like if it gets intense music is just like epic, like dramatic stuff.
I've seen pictures like memes of like a giant stereo system. It's like, what's the first song you're playing on this? And then it's like the whatever those jellyfish were bopping to. It's like,
wait, guys, can we talk about the worst moment when someone used music from SpongeBob? Which specifically one? The Super Bowl, like I think last year or 2 years ago. Yeah,
I was about to mention that.
We could probably talk about that after.
I think we'll be getting to that.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to go ahead and
we will be getting to that.
Okay, yes. So we're gonna talk about, I asked Jared to do a top five of season two.
Perfect.
And then if you guys have anything to add, interject or anything, or if you're like, what? So this is a Whitworth special, everybody.
the season two power rankings of SpongeBob. It was difficult because, like I said, there were just so many that were like of the same quality,
right?
That it came down to just me like, so many picking bangers. Some. So you know, this is just one man's opinion.
But this is the definitive
the show. But just
cut to like, this is a fact. And at number four, somebody like throws their phone out of the highway. And like,
I want to see some up rocks.
If you have any complaints, please email us.
Yeah. If you need a pitchfork to throw at Jared's apartment, email us. We will.
It's at the merch store.
If you have any thoughts, we will link his address down below.
You get rocks thrown through your window, and it's got a note on it like, how dare you?
So anyway, yeah, it's just kind of like I thought of like great ones and threw them in a list. And now we'll
discuss.
Spoiler analyze. Alerts. Everything's fighting for second place and lower because Band Geeks is number one.
Yes.
It wasn't even.
I was going to die on that hill, and I'm glad I don't have to.
Oh, no. We will all die on that hill.
The laser pointer that it's off is now off of the sniper from the roof next door is now off of Jarrett.
The beeping has stopped.
I'm also...
He's making this list this weekend.
I have everything, and okay. I have one start. I can't come up with a number five. There are too many that are competing for the number five spot. Right. So I am going to go ahead and pick... We can do Graveyard Shift.
Okay. Graveyard Shift. All right.
I agree.
Number five. That one's really good.
Yeah, I agree.
The hash slinger is hilarious.
And it's
my
just the guy
joke,
holding the spatula or whatever, like looking for a job
being,
at midnight.
The walls will ooze green slime.
Oh wait,
they always do that.
They always do that.
or like, I'm here to get a job. Do you have references?
Immediately, or yeah, there's too many good ones on there.
And actually, another one
who wants a Krabby Patty at 3 a.m.
real small shout out for the episode Artist Unknown, where SpongeBob is taking the art class that Squidward's teaching.
Is that in season 3?
No, that's in season 2.
Okay. I started with this.
Simply for the moment, exactly, where he starts with a very detailed face and erases down to a perfect circle. Hilarious. Let's see. Number four, I'm going to go with Shanghai.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. Okay. Great episode. We talked plenty about
What's
it.
What's that? Is that a signal? All right, just Jude again.
I love the, we have to get through the perfume department.
Yeah.
Also, the fly of despair made me laugh so hard.
That creeped me out as a kid.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh no. And is then, internally falling. Was
and
scary.
Then that's also the same episode as the, now we'll buff out those scratches later.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You're good.
You're good. You're good. You're good.
You're wood good. Shavings flying off the side.
And oh, stop.
Man. And a montage of just his face getting more and more sad. The Flying Dutchman. I've had to do this a million times.
Is that the East? I thought you said Weast.
No, that's what the one that where they're playing a board game based that's off it. The Flying Dutchman's mm-hmm. treasure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in season one.
Oh, that's right.
Man, if there's ever a SpongeBob bar trivia night,
oh,
we've got everyone roasted.
We will.
If you live in Toledo, we will drive there.
Let us know if you are hosting a bar trivia based on SpongeBob.
Anywhere on the East Coast of the Mississippi, we will be there.
We have the budget.
Smaller, but
yeah, do we have the budget?
Yeah, but all these sponsors,
we have exactly $0.
I'd say about $1 for
all
snacks.
These sponsors, like
Simply
SpongeBob,
not
Simply, And the Simply Safe representative is walking out the door.
Yeah. And we just got
putting his briefcase away and walking.
Flow from Progressive.
Oh my gosh, we beamed her in.
I like Squidville a whole lot.
Yeah.
We watched that together.
A whole lot.
Are y'all hanging out before this?
Yeah, we watched some of them together.
Okay.
Oh, I just love that. Like canned bread.
That has definitely turned into a meme where they're like, they have it, and it cuts to something else. Yeah.
And you see, you know, it's nice again because it's like even, you know, Squidward, who like would say like, ah, oh, SpongeBob's so annoying. He realizes being around just a billion of himself is a horrible thing.
And it's a gaming community.
It's a little bit of a more of a message going on than you think.
Yeah, about that line where he's like, "We don't accept your kind here."
I was like, "Whoa,
no,
that's cool."
Oh, shoot. but then he finds that moment of silliness with the reef blower. It's very sweet.
Right,
it just becomes who he.
It's called a reef blower.
Yeah, that's a joke. Get it?
Ba-dum-tsh. I literally just...
That's a joke in one of the episodes where I think it's like they have a biplane and Sandy's like, we're going fly fishing. It cuts to like the most like high school prom suit tuxedo guy playing like, ba-dum-tsh. Oh, so good.
What's next?
Yeah, what's number two?
Number two is tied for number two. Also, I mean, in the montage in Squidville, too, of him doing the same things over and over again. Mermaid Man and Barnacle Boy.
Oh, yes.
Great one.
Wait, is that the one where they take Man Ray?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
That's basically the list I had.
I love it.
Yeah, that's the one. The whole bits of the wallets.
Yeah,
the wallet is mean.
And then the second.
No, my
yeah, and then
iconic.
And then the whole the punchline of it all being in the second goodness lesson where he's like, "What's in this box anyway? My wallets."
Yeah,
like
those kind of things are really what makes SpongeBob shine.
Right. So, yeah. The little slapstick stuff. Okay. And so, Band Geeks was your number one.
Band Geeks running away with it, not even close, number one.
Probably the most cultural, like, identifiable episode of SpongeBob.
And it's the main character is Squidward.
Right.
That's the best part. Like, SpongeBob is just, he's kind of there.
Right.
I love it. And the oboe, the puns.
That's his eager face, and he's like.
More
the owner of the white sedan.
Left your lights on.
If you haven't seen this episode and you made it far,
yeah,
get out.
You need to stick it just for attracting mates.
The harmonica bit.
Oh, he's running. Oh, no. The moment that never fails to make me laugh and die laughing is people talk loud when they want to act smart, right? And Plankton yells, "Correct!" If we just play loud, people will think we're good. And then you see the windows blow out of the building.
What if we play so silently that no one could hear us? Well, maybe we would be playing so bad if we weren't playing with big, fat claws.
Would you say punk?
And Tyler's then, just going to reenact the whole episode in front of us.
No, I realize it's amazing.
This is again, any bars?
You can make a Band Geeks episode.
It has its own episode. It has its own Wikipedia. That's amazing. How much. Yeah. Wow.
Squilliam Fancy Son is also an incredible villain name.
Also, the fact that they use a real marching band to make the music that makes it sound like any middle school marching band, where it's all out of key, is so perfect to me.
They play taps
and the drums, and they shoot the drumsticks. Everything about it is so funny, especially if you've ever done anything with music. Okay, but getting to your point, about the Super Bowl, feel free.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so what makes Band Geeks one of the best episodes in SpongeBob ever, and I will die on that hill, is the fact that it ends with an actually good song that most people hadn't heard of before.
Yes. Right.
Sweet Victory. And it's amazing. And my dream for ever since that episode was to see that happen at the Super Bowl.
Right.
And then, what was it? Super Bowl 2019?
Yep.
Yeah.
2019 happens. I can't remember the guy who did it.
It was Maroon 5.
Maroon 5 comes in and begins playing the Sweet Victory with the clip. And I was like, my dream. It's going to happen. And then it cuts.
Cuts to Travis Scott.
cuts Travis Scott.
Oh, right. Oh, gross.
Or
so they didn't. It was just that they just teased it and didn't actually do anything about it.
And then didn't do anything about it and went to a totally different song. And I was like, you monsters. You absolute monsters.
What was it about 2 years ago? Because it happened because of there like a crazy petition and stuff. Right? But what? Why was that 2 years ago instead of any time before?
I don't know if it was Maroon 5.
Steven Hillenburg had just passed away. So they did it. And then there was a thing. There was also rumors that... this is also a meme. If you remember a couple of years ago, I might have been 10 at this point, when the Super Bowl happened and the power went out.
Yep.
And Ravens and everyone was expecting like a bubble bowl.
That would have been so cool. I genuinely mean it. Like, even if they just play the clip,
right?
It would make my heart sing. It would make me so happy. But they didn't, because they're monsters.
Yes. So the
blame
NFL.
The Patriots.
I should.
Yeah, you deflated our spirits.
Ooh, Tom Brady was responsible.
I don't want to hear it.
But
the fun part about that is in that episode is that it's just a bunch of the writers like cut to them just like swaying back and forth to Sweet Victory.
Wait, those were the writers?
Yeah, it's just them.
That's cool.
Just kind of acting out. Yeah, it's pretty great. So Band Geeks. Yeah.
It is, I think, one of the best, mostly because it just takes down that SpongeBob like formula and just decides, you know what, we're just going to let each character have their own little bit for just a second.
We're just going to say SpongeBob is incredible at singing and like an amazing showman.
It's a thrill.
Yeah. I mean, I think it has like almost every character, right?
And pretty much.
Because they're all in the marching band. And when they're practicing marching, you see Pearl's giant head in the middle of the pack.
Isn't she just like a cheerleader or something in it? Or wait, no.
She cheerleads it in the first season and during when they have a talent show.
Oh, yeah. That's that.
Oh, then there's the fish doing the poles, and then
they
just
fly into a blimp and then explodes.
And then they play taps.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so perfect.
There's so many memes that come out of just that one episode.
Right. Is mayonnaise an instrument has been used a million times.
Oh, my God, yeah. Like, in the SpongeBob in the Hood, there's a lot of clips from just that episode.
I mean, like, that the performance has been, like, dubbed over a million times.
Yes.
To, like, this is why I'm hot or something. That was a very early YouTube video I've seen.
An episode that didn't quite make it was the...
honorable mention.
Honorable mention would be the worm, the Alaskan bullworm.
Yeah. Right.
That was another, like, why don't we just take this bikini bottom, push it over there?
So, for those of you who have seen the first episode of season 2 of The Mandalorian, which is a complete remake of that episode of SpongeBob. Yeah, yeah. That's the whole time I was watching, I'm like, this is just the Alaskan bullworm episode.
Was it also big, hairy, and pink?
Yes. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't.
Okay.
It really is the same
episode.
Alaskan
it's the point where I'm like, oh, and then the amount of memes on Reddit were like, did you not see that?
Oh, they must have had a field day with it.
Oh, yeah. Jon Favreau must be a big SpongeBob fan.
I wouldn't be surprised.
But yeah.
It is a good show.
It's a good show.
I apologize if I seem like a little crazy about it, but it's just...
No, I think we feel the same way. Now, I will say my favorite episode of the entire series does not appear until season 3, so we'll have to do that for another time.
By chance, which one was it?
You can't give that away.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We'll tell you afterwards.
Whenever we get around to doing it.
6 months later.
Yeah. You wanna...
Yep. All right. Does the theme play now?
No, you say it and then it happens.
Okay. Kids Meal Corner.
Now you must acquire a taste for
the Kids Meal Corner.
All right, well, so for this iteration.
Yeah, we're back. Hi.
Kids Meal Corner. We have a couple because SpongeBob was so popular.
Yeah.
Basically, every chain that makes toys had a SpongeBob.
They were doing licensing deals with pretty much every fast food
and stuff. But one of the first ones was Burger King. Which included such amazing toys as SpongeBob at the Krusty Krab Grill, SpongeBob on a coral ladder, SpongeBob with his reef blower, Patrick in a raft, Squidward in a bathtub, Sandy on a jellyfish, Wind Up Gary. And then they made a 2003 line, which is around the third season.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, they made some Swinging Patrick, Gravity Defying Gary, Squidward playing as Karinette, Karate Chopping Sandy. and a SpongeBob water squirter. And there was a lot more. Dairy Queen had one in 2001, but I could not find any pictures.
Yeah, I couldn't find a picture either. The big thing to know about this is the only time Dairy Queen ever worked with Nickelodeon ever. So exactly. Maybe it didn't go well.
Yeah. But for some of those, there was a SpongeBob Squeak Pants, SpongeBob Whoopi Cloud, Squirting Patrick, which...
I think it was like a thing where you put it in the water and then it shoots water when you squeeze it.
Kind of just toy gun.
Same with
stuff.
The SpongeBob Squeak Pants. It was like a bath toy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
like
a
rubber ducky.
But and then another one in 2002, which is around this time this season came out, I believe, was Wendy's Kids Meal SpongeBob SquarePants House Party, and included a SpongeBob notepad, Gary's spinning shell, Patrick's water game, Sandy the pen, and a SpongeBob party
Sandy
poster.
The pen, I've got it.
You've got one?
Or what? No, I was talking to Joseph. No, I have it right here. But yeah.
You mean like this?
So there was so many. And so these were just some of the first ones before the movie came out. For the movie, there was so many ones that came out.
Oh, man. I did want to mention two others in terms of the food-related thing. It's like, this is, like, season two was like, okay, SpongeBob's blowing up. We're going to build it. So the big one was... the SpongeBob Popsicle.
Yes.
Have you had it?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Is it good?
I mean, again, it was... I would have been 10 years old.
Well, I've got some right here. They're a little melted. So
I saved it for
it's definitely one of those...
from 10 years ago.
But I remember distinctly, like, getting it from... it was like an ice cream truck at the beach or something. Right. You open it up and the eyes are, like, off-center and the blue is smeared.
Right.
So it looks crazy.
The picture of it looks nothing like the actual one. Yeah, so this is a Fruit Punch cotton candy with gumball eyes.
Yeah.
I definitely remember... I distinctly have a memory of getting this at Wet n Wild, and then my dad getting the like the ice cream thing where it was like two cookies and ice cream in the middle and then being like pathetic, and I'm like that's 100 times better. This is like disgusting sugar. The other one I wanted to mention was SpongeBob SquarePants cheese nips, not Cheez-Its, cheese nips,
cheese nipples.
Yeah, I hate that name so much. It makes me think of nipples every time. Cheese nips.
I had like looking at this picture, I had like a sensory flashback to eating a lot of these.
Oh, no.
I guarantee it. I had
of the SpongeBob cheese nips.
Yeah.
Okay.
We gotta make just an episode on the best like
on
like
just cheese
food.
Nips.
No. Just like the food. Like
these go 4 hours.
Scooby
on cheese
Doo snacks.
Buckle up, everybody. It's gonna be a double episode.
The big thing about it is that it has a sweepstakes where you could win a cruise instantly. So,
bikini bottom.
That's gonna be an interesting conversation. Being like, so yeah, my family's here on vacation. What about you? Cheese nips sent me.
Sent me on an instant cruise. I was in the middle of one of the nips and
hey, if you can, if you're listening and you can successfully prank a friend into eating cheese nips, email us because
we'll give you a shirt.
Yeah, you get a free shirt. Any other thoughts, SpongeBob related?
I think I made my case pretty clear. That's the only.
And
good
the
show.
Jury, we beam the jury in.
I just love that there's this. My dad's a DJ, and he has this one song. It's like a reggaeton song, and it samples the SpongeBob theme. And it's so good.
Does the club go crazy when it plays it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Can we get our hands on that? Or is that...
I don't know what the song is called, but I'll send it to you.
That's awesome.
We could post it.
I need a new ringtone.
You're a guest on our show, so that does mean you get a prize.
Oh.
However, the prize...
A cruise to Bikini Bottom?
It's a box of cheese nips.
I have no idea how many cheese nips we had to eat.
We contacted Cheez Nips from the 2002 sweepstakes. If you look outside the window,
it's on land.
We're just gonna beam you there.
It did say instantly.
So, Rob Gronkowski on that cruise.
Yeah, instantly puts you on the cruise. Just two guys in suits, no matter where they are, they grab you on the shoulders.
I don't want to go on the cruise. You can't make me. I have life.
You shouldn't have eaten the cheese nips.
Okay, so the prize I was going to get you was actually something for all of us, which was a blind box SpongeBob keychain toys where they had different characters, and they, it's not here. So, I have something else instead, because I went to the same store that had them, but they didn't have them, so I ordered them, they're coming, we'll have them for you when they come. Anyway,
thank you.
Keep talking. awesome.
I didn't realize this would have gifts.
Hey, you know, it's better. I prefer that other than when we have guests on and they're like, I love this show. And then I'm like, well, you get a prize. Like, I get a prize? I'm like, have they listened to this show that much? Yeah.
That's surely they're going to end the prizes with me.
So what I have for here instead is a blind box for all four of us to do. Whoa. It's not going to be SpongeBob because I didn't have it. But something else, another cartoon from the 2000s. The anticipation.
If he ever gets it open.
Yeah.
Yeah, so blind box?
Yeah. Yeah, so what it is these are...
It's like a mystery toy.
Stitch collectibles.
Whoa.
And oh, I get each it. Of them, each of these boxes has a different one inside. So we might get... So we don't know. So everyone gets one.
Oh, that's cute.
So, Joseph, we will let you go first. Thank but there's you. Different stitches.
Oh, jeez.
Headphone users.
I think Jared has a concussion now.
Put me through the protocol.
I'm going to be honest.
Just beam him out.
Sorry for all the crinkling sounds that's going on.
It's going to be so hard to open this.
This is an ASMR podcast now.
It's the worst sound ever. Hang on,
how the hell do you get this open?
Yeah, no, genuinely.
Yeah, we'll be here for a while.
Do you have any scissors? Or? I got keys.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're supposed to open it like a bag of cheese nips and do it in the middle.
You mean with your teeth in the bathtub?
I got it. Oh. Okay. There are multiple different stitches on here. We've got a St. Patrick's Day, 4th of July, Winter Angel, who is the sister of Stitch, Valentine's, Luau, Chef, Attitude, Nerdy.
Oh, my God.
And,
it smells like paint.
It probably is. All right, I'm going...
Did you open it and take a whiff? That was your plan?
All right, I've
got... I wanted
to
see what it was without looking at it.
I'm going to say I want the Luau Stitch and see what I get.
Okay.
I kind of like the whistle. I was able to also just pop it.
Oh, you were able to open it?
Yeah, it was easier than I thought.
Okay. I'll cut most of this.
It's... Oh,
my gosh.
Whatever the shape of it in here...
There's also two specific special ones. Okay. Joseph, we'll start with you.
All right, Tyler. So, I would, let's just say, I would like the one with the glasses, because I've always wanted.
Oh, Nerdy Stitch.
Yeah, I've always wanted glasses, but.
What we get?
We got Angry One.
Attitude Stitch.
Oh, man.
Where did you get these at?
I went to Box Lunch at the mall. It's basically Hot Topic, but instead, any purchase over $10, they give half the proceeds to Feeding America.
Oh, wow.
So, I know, it's a confusing name. We were like, so these all lunch boxes? Like, what is it? Yeah, they have a bunch of different variety of stuff. Check them out. Please sponsor us. Also, Hot Topic is, it's funny if you look at Hot Topic, how it was like, it started out as definitely punk stuff and then has become like...
Teenage emo.
No, the number one like U.S. seller of anything, Nightmare Before Christmas. Like,
I used to go
everything
there.
There is Jack Skellington.
When I was a freshman in high school, Hot Topic all the time.
Oh yeah,
I used to get the Funko Pops there. They had a good deal.
I feel like everything is turning to Funko Pops, like GameStop, Barnes and Noble.
Yeah,
GameStop is selling PC hardware now.
Oh
yeah, the investors really they got them back in.
Who wants to go next? Either you.
You go, Brett.
Stonks. All right, I'll go. I wanted Luau Stitch. What I get?
Oh my god!
I got the same one.
Attitude Stitch. All just got Angry Stitch.
Did we all get Angry Stitch? Yeah, I literally I saw
did
a bucket
you reach
of them.
In the same part of the bucket, Brent.
No, no.
Yeah, and I was like, I'm gonna get four completely different
Jared,
ones.
What did you get?
I already saw what I got, so I'm not gonna.
Is it the same one?
No, it actually isn't.
Oh, you got Angel.
I got Angel Stitch.
Aww.
Whoa.
Winter Angel, yeah.
Winter Angel.
Okay.
So the pink one.
All right, Alejandro.
Just imagine a pink Stitch.
Is it
this? SpongeBob?
No.
Oh, I got Christmas Stitch.
Hey. Oh, there you go.
That's cute.
Love that.
We got the same one, though.
I know, that's cool. Awesome. All right, well, I'll make sure you guys get the SpongeBob ones when they come by.
Thank you.
But yeah, anyways, thank you for coming on, Joseph.
Yes. Thank you so much for having
me.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
That was awesome.
Sorry we beamed you in here out of nowhere, but it's
all good.
But yeah, if you like what you heard, follow us on Instagram and Twitter with the handle Most Extreme Pod. And if you have any questions or any cheese nips related work.
We want your cheese nip stories.
Yes, please. Yeah. If you went on that cruise, let us know. What was that like?
Oh my gosh, yes.
Anyone out there. You'll just come on our podcast.
Yeah, we'll fly you over here. I'm still on the cruise.
I've been on the cruise for 10 whole years.
We just stopped at the Bahamas and never.
Oh my god.
It was that one that was sinking into Italy.
Oh. No, what's the Suez Canal one blocking? Yeah, the Suez Canal now.
Oh, man. Okay, well, and then if you email us at mostextremepodcast@gmail.com, and we will see you next week. Did you want anything to plug?
I have an Instagram at Joseph_Chambliss.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. I always forget to do that. All right. We'll see you next week. See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.